The Justice Speaks Podcast, Episode 40.
The Justice Speaks Podcast is brought to you by the Justice Speakers Institute, LLC, the premier international speakers bureau on justice issues. JSI provides a comprehensive view of the justice system with an international perspective. This podcast is to give you the knowledge and be able to ask the questions on creating justice in your community. The founders of JSI have a unique understanding of how the justice system works best, and we are educators who have spoken, trained, and taught in six of the seven continents in almost every state in the U.S. Now, here's Justice Speaks. This podcast is sponsored by Reconnect. Established over a decade ago, Reconnect is a public benefit corporation serving specialty and juvenile courts, as well as pretrial, reentry, community supervision, and other accountability-based programs. Reconnect offers an evidence-based two-part platform, a secure web-based staff dashboard, and a mobile app for participants to streamline caseload management. A multi-purpose and encompassing tool, the platform facilitates increased communication and accountability while automating staff paperwork to allow them to focus their attention on the individual. Hello and welcome to Justice Speaks. I'm Brian McKenzie, a retired judge from Michigan. Across the country, there are statewide associations that focus on specialty dockets, sometimes called drug or treatment courts. These associations are making a difference in their states, raising awareness of specialty dockets and making sure that they are working. The Justice Speakers Institute has created a series of interviews with the leaders of these associations, focused on how they came into existence, what they are doing, and what they see in their future. Each episode will focus on a particular state association. In this episode, we will interview the leadership of the Wisconsin Association of Treatment Court Professionals. With that, I'd like to introduce Kimberly Kitzberger, the current president of the Wisconsin Association of Treatment Court Professionals, and Liesl Nelson, who was the president of the association and is here to help us with some of the history. Correct. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
I'd like to start by asking you, Kimberly, to tell me about yourself.
Sure. So I have been in the treatment court field since 2014. I joined St. Croix County working with their juvenile treatment court population, and shortly thereafter moved into the adult drug court population. I am a licensed substance abuse counselor for the state of Wisconsin and have a background in substance use disorders and treatment interventions, with my first experience in the treatment courts then being when I joined St. Croix County in 2014.
So are you the first treatment court person to become president of the association?
The first coordinator?
So interestingly enough, I was coordinator of the court when I took my presidency. I've recently changed back and went back into the behavioral health clinic, and I'm now doing the direct service work. But I'm not sure I'm the first coordinator.
Maybe the first coordinator. I know we've had treatment people as our presidents in past years.
Okay. So, Liesl, how did you become president?
So I am a criminal defense attorney. I work for the Public Defender's Office in Wisconsin. I was assigned to a couple of different treatment courts starting in 2005. So I actually sit on the treatment court teams for two different counties. So back in about 2007, I was going to my first statewide conference, and it was at that conference we were starting to put together the state organization. Mm-hmm. So my experience with treatment courts and then getting involved in the state organization kind of happened all around the same time.
And so you were involved in the beginning of the Wisconsin Association?
Pretty close to the beginning. There was a discussion that started about forming a state organization when NADCP held their annual conference in Milwaukee. And there were some reasons that they wanted to be there, some needs that city had that I think attracted NADCP. And it was out of that conference then that we started our discussion about how to form a statewide organization. And I probably came on about 2 years after that when we were really starting to form a board.
And so how challenging was it then? I mean, when did you start your first conference? How did you fund yourself? What did that mean for Wisconsin?
Sure. So they started an annual, I'll call it a conference, but it was a pretty small group in the beginning, the year after the NADCP meeting in Milwaukee, to start coming together, start talking about what an organization would look like, who ought to be involved, how to form a board. By 2007, we were actually pulling people in to start organizing the board. And it, you know, it was not difficult at all. We had a lot of people who wanted to become involved out of that state conference that we had in 2007. Our board we put together, we try to make very representative of lots of different stakeholder components, right? So we try to mirror what a treatment court team looks like. I was initially told, well, we'll see, because a lot of the volunteers happen to be public defenders.
Really?
And
that's sort of unique.
I think the buy-in from public defenders is pretty immediate, understanding what diversion and treatment can do for our clients. And so we had a lot of people who wanted to become involved. So it was fairly easy for us. Our yearly meeting started out fairly small, 50, 60 people, pretty quickly getting up to 100, expanding to 200, and now we're up to over 700.
Let's talk about that, Kimberly. How big is your conference currently, and when is it?
So we are very fortunate in Wisconsin. We actually host two conference events each year. So in the spring, we host our annual statewide conference for all disciplines, and we invited over 700 individuals to that conference this last spring.
So that's a fairly big conference.
It's grown tremendously, absolutely. And then the fall of each year, we provide and put on a coordinators conference specifically for the coordinators and case managers of the programs to come in and get more skill building in that specific role.
So why do you do that?
We found that the coordinators in Wisconsin, we say coordinator, and that means something a little bit different in every area of the state. We have some who are purely administrative that are handling the court functions, the calendaring, the notes, the, I cannot think of the word.
Don't worry. Go ahead.
and
handle the day-to-day.
The docket. Operation. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you very much. And then we have those that cross into the case management as well. So they're actually doing direct service work with the court participants and helping coordinate the service between treatment and supervision and the legal issues and other things that are going on.
So why did you target that group as opposed to, say, judges, instead of former judges?
Maybe I'm a little biased having been a coordinator myself, but quite frankly, without the coordinators, most of our programs wouldn't operate. Most other disciplines are coming in addition to their full-time jobs, and coordinators are the one role in Wisconsin, at least, that are solely dedicated to the treatment court program. So they know all the ins and outs, from the budget to the treatment service that's being provided to the grant opportunities available. And so being able to provide them a space where they can actually come in more openly and freely talk about the issues and things that they're seeing in their courts, and tapping into the knowledge and experience of their cohorts across the state has been really beneficial to them.
How do you become a member? I'm going to ask this, please. How do you become a member of the association?
For us, membership has always just come with your registration to our conference. If you come to a conference, we will sign you up and keep sending you information.
And does that continue on into the next year also? Or
it does.
You come to a conference, you become a member and you're on the list
right.
pretty much the rest of the time.
Right. And I should say that, our main goal, at least especially in the beginning, was to make sure that we were providing high quality but low cost access to training. In Wisconsin, we're different than a lot of other states. A lot of other states had enabling legislation. Their Supreme Courts were, the initiation of starting courts, approving them, certifying them. And in Wisconsin, it was a much more grassroots effort. These courts were opening on their own and needed access to training and quite often did not have funding beyond just local sources. And so getting access to something like an NADCP conference was often beyond the reach of what our courts were able to do. And so we wanted to make sure that we had state-level training that was not only, accessible, but at low cost as well.
Speaking of that training, and I'm going to ask you now, Kimberly, you do an annual conference, which you mentioned a little earlier. That covers the waterfront, I take it. And when do you do it?
So typically we hold the conference the last week of May, or last week of April, first week of May, in that time frame. We tend to move around the state, but the Wisconsin Dells location has been sort of central state and been large enough to accommodate the growing numbers of our membership.
And so that's a training conference where you provide the broad spectrum of training, everything from what we in Michigan call sobriety courts, DWI courts, through veterans courts, through mental health, et cetera. Is that right?
That's correct.
And do you provide basic tracks and then more advanced training, or how do you do that?
Yeah, so we try to be as inclusive for all of the court types that we see in Wisconsin. So we try to bring in speakers from not only our national partners, but our tribal healing to wellness partners, our family courts. We also try to make sure that we have tracks or breakout sessions, we call them, that are focused on more of the 101 or basic introductions, because we have experienced a lot of turnover in team members across the state. But then some of that new and improved or advanced skill set for those that are still working with programs year in and year out. So our days are usually a couple of keynote or plenary speakers with multiple breakout sessions for folks to kind of choose the topic that is most relevant to them and kind of move around and get a different feel for the things that are happening in the field.
What else, beyond the two conferences we've been talking about, what other services do you provide your membership?
So training is certainly our number one priority. So in addition to the conference events, we provide webinars. As we learn about different innovations or speakers that are out there and we're able to contact them, we do webinar, lunch and learn type series. But advocacy is probably our second biggest priority area. We've done a lot of advocacy with our legislature on funding of treatment courts. We're recently working through and navigating changes in our OWI laws that are significantly impacting our OWI court populations. The recent change in law now requires a prison sentence for fourth and higher offenses, which may seem alarming, but in Wisconsin, up until, you weren't even a felony offense until you're fourth.
And the first offense in Wisconsin is still civil. We're the last state, I think.
I think you are the last state.
Yeah.
So you're providing information and other training to the members when they need it, but you're also advocating changes in the law. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And you publish any web information for your members, a newsletter, anything like that?
We do. So we have our own website, watcp.org. We also have a newsletter that we try to get out on a quarterly basis. But again, our membership and our board especially is volunteers. So we try not to stretch everybody too thin. But we do produce at least a yearly, but the goal is quarterly, newsletter with the happenings and updates. And then when specific events are going on or things are coming up, we'll just kind of do a mail blast to our membership of, here's some exciting news, or here's something to watch in the legislature, or here's something happening across the state, to get those updates out as frequently and as immediately as we can.
Good. Good. So, and do you do legislative, do you go to the Capitol and do legislative lobbying with your members?
We have in the past. We had an event that we did for a number of years called Storm the Capitol, and was intended for exactly that. We would bring in WATCP members to meet with their legislators and try to make those connections, but also set up a table. And if there were people, you know, in the Capitol that wanted to come and talk more about the organization, they'd be there and available to do that.
This is interesting. So let me ask you this. What do you think the greatest accomplishment of all this has been?
We were just talking about this the other day, and one accomplishment that I think has served us so well is taking the national standards and putting a work group together in Wisconsin and writing our own set of standards.
So you have a best practice set of standards.
We do. We do. And what I found is that in many places, the national standards are absolutely the blueprint, but sometimes they're too broad and too vague, or too, I call, pie in the sky. There's just too large of a gap before our courts are ready to meet those marks. And sometimes they're not necessarily in direct correlation with our own statutory requirements or other things. So taking the time to put the work group together and write our own standards has really helped folks and teams sort of dive in and say, this is what we can accomplish here in Wisconsin.
Okay, and have you published those on your website?
We have, and they've been revised even. So we, you were on that.
Yeah, I would say too that our standards tried to cover a number of topics also that the national standards haven't been able to get to yet. And so we're trying to provide just a little bit more resources. We also have a set of performance measures that were put together in our state that are available on the website as well for youth. We were fortunate as well that when we published our state standards, our Department of Justice, we partnered with them pretty effectively to roll out training to several areas across the state. And they did a wonderful job doing an introduction to the standards. We had everyone attend in teams, so that as you went through the standards and learned the standards, you had an opportunity to discuss them with your team and then put together an action plan on how you were going to implement those standards in your own court.
So you incorporated the standards as part of your training, is that correct?
The standards trainings were separate from our annual conferences, but yes, we were able to, and the rollout of them was more of a one-time basis. We don't necessarily do that, but we try to revisit them as frequently as we can, offer an introduction to them, but then also hopefully more advanced deep dive into them where you can work with your team to apply them to your own courts.
What's the greatest challenge facing your association?
I would say right now we are growing and we're growing at a rate that maybe we're not exactly prepared for. We are beginning discussions about needing to find a way to sustain an executive director position of our association. Our board is all voted on members, but it's volunteers, and our leadership are all volunteers. And so when we come up with these great ideas, and we have many of them going, we're asking people to do something outside of their workday or something above and beyond. And we have so many great projects going in so many different directions that even just keeping those organized and staying on top of what those are really needs something beyond the part-time contracted staff that we have, that who really is our conference planner event. I mean, she answers the emails and the things that we get and plans our conference, but we stretch her.
We're talking about Jody.
Yes, yes. And we stretch her as far as we can. So we need to really think about our sustainability and this growth and how we can continue to support our programs as we see more of them pop up across the state.
It's something I liked about your board, and I should say that I've had the pleasure of meeting with your board when you are all doing strategic planning up in that little chute that goes into Lake Michigan, whose name, the Dells, is that it?
Door County.
And I thought you were forward-looking at the time, and I assume that you're going to be looking at something like that to meet these challenges.
Absolutely. The other trend that we're seeing right now is we do have a program in our state called the TAD Grant, the Treatment Alternatives and Diversion Grant, that funds a lot of our programs, or at least partially funds and supports. But because it's a statute-driven grant, it also puts some limitations and restrictions on programs about who they serve and how they serve. And so we're finding some folks, it's maybe easier to just say, we don't want that funding then, so that we can continue to serve in this way or in this manner. And unfortunately, sometimes those are ways and manners which we know may cause harm. So we really want to be an organization that says, look, this funding can help you continue to grow and enhance your program. Why don't we come in and work with you to help you identify what the barrier to the statute is and how you can work through that, rather than just say, we'll leave the money on the table and do business as usual with the potential that we might be causing harm.
Let me ask you this. How can a person who's interested in getting involved in your association do that?
Yeah, so I think the easiest way to connect is just through our website. There is a contact us section that goes right to Jody, and she's very fast with her responses. But you can also find the complete list of our board members with our contact information. So let's say there's a judge who would really like to connect with another judge. The unique thing about our association is our 19 board members represent each of the disciplines typically seen on a treatment court team. So we ensure that we have 2 prosecutors, 2 defense attorneys, 2 treatment providers, 2 coordinators, 2 judges, 2 law enforcement, and the list goes on. But we're right there on the website. And so you can connect with me as the president if you're curious about the business, or you can connect with the judge and talk judge to judge about what it looks like in Wisconsin.
So where do you see the association in 10 years? What's the big thing that you guys are going to be pushing for the next decade?
One of the things that we're really looking at, and I think that it has a lot to do with how treatment courts developed in Wisconsin. Like I said, we don't have as strong of a central organization. We do have a state coordinator, but she has more responsibilities than just treatment courts. She's the head of all diversion programs, and our Supreme Court is less hands-on than, and legislature is less hands-on than a lot of states. And so we sort of fill a role trying to provide resources and support and training and information. And as Kim referenced, we do have courts, because they evolve so organically, they evolve very individually, trying to meet local needs and meet them in their own ways. And a lot of the support that we're trying to provide is to make sure that there is some, I want to call it quality control, but fidelity to the model. And so we're looking at a couple of things, peer mentoring, peer review. Our state Office of State Courts, where our coordinator is housed, they have also been willing to go out and do reviews of courts and give them helpful and useful feedback. It's not a formal evaluation. It's just some helpful feedback, some tips, some pointers, the things that they can do to make their courts better. So we feel like we play a pretty strong role there, and we know that there are more things that we can be doing to provide some of those resources. And so that's one of our big aspirational goals, aside from just giving the training, but to follow up with those courts to see how it's going for them and provide more individualized support if we can.
I want to thank both of you for coming. It's been a real pleasure. I really appreciate you taking the time to help explain the Wisconsin Association of Treatment Court Professionals, both to the people of Wisconsin and to the people nationally. Thank you again.
We would like to thank ReConnect for sponsoring this episode. ReConnect provides industry-leading, fully customizable test randomizations, HIPAA-compliant messaging and announcements, calendar scheduling, reminders, and attendance verification, virtual curfew checks, electronic forms, progress visualization, video chat, in-app submitted events and forms, 24/7 location monitoring, and configurable smartphones. ReConnect is used in over 250 programs in over 35 states. Thank you for tuning in today to Justice Speaks. Please check back often for new content, not only through our podcast, but also our blog. Comprehensive information about who we are and what we do may be found on our website, JusticeSpeakersInstitute.com. And please follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Be sure to rate the podcast on iTunes, and do not hesitate to contact us with any questions you may have. Everyone is entitled to justice, and we are speaking up to ensure it.